Welcome to Sunday Morning at Faith Assembly, featuring the ministry of Senior Pastor Phil Goss. We're glad you've joined us. Now, here's Pastor Goss.
Well, when you came in this morning, you received a bulletin, and inside of there's some notes that I'd like for you to pull out, if you would. Kind of a tool to help you kind of remember a little bit more of what we're saying today. We're in a series that we've entitled Fighting the Good Fight. It's taken from 2 Timothy chapter 4, verse 7, where Paul writes, I've fought a good fight, I've finished the race, and I've remained faithful. You and I are in a battle, but it's a good battle. It's a good fight. It's a fight that should be fought. We're looking at the three battlegrounds that you and I have to fight in every day, all the time. We looked at the internal last week. We're going to look at it again one more time, simply because it's the most critical of the battlegrounds. It's where you fight most of your battles. It's in you. Ecclesiastes 7:20 says, there's not a single person in all the earth who is always good and never sins. Now that's true, isn't it? Now there's a line there, and I put it in your notes because I wanted to make sure you got it. You will never be sinless on earth, but it is possible to sin less. All right? So that's the fight. That's the battle. I have to keep waging war. We've talked about the internal struggle last week, about how you and I have this old nature and new nature, and what has to be fought. And so in order to sin less, what needs to happen? The very simple thing that we all love. In order for me to sin less, I have to change. Okay? And the person next to you needs to change. And you can look at them and say, see, I told you so. Okay? You can just let them know, they need to change. Okay? We need to change. Change is hard, isn't it? And yet when we come to Christ, we're expected to change. We're different people. So how do we do that change? But how do we process that because it's so difficult? Well, first of all, I think we need to understand where my character defects come from. Where do my problems come from? Where do my issues come from? Basically, your issues, my issues come from three different places. Number one, our carnal nature. Our carnal nature. That nature inside of us that causes us problems and difficulty. That causes sin in our life. Oh, see, Pastor, I knew it all along. I was born with this. I have a problem with this. It's just in me. I can't help myself. And see, we want to use that excuse that we're born this way, and that's true to a certain degree, but that's why Jesus Christ came. He came so you don't have to live that way. He came so you don't have to give in to that nature. He didn't, you know, well, we just want, it's my nature, it's just the way I am, I just got to live. Christ says, no, I'm going to come so that you don't have to give in to that nature and that you can have power over it. So I struggle with that. Second place my defects come from, my circumstances. My circumstances. Some have been involved in some circumstances in our lives that were not your choice. Things happen beyond your control. And we've developed behavior patterns that help us get through some difficult times sometimes that we really didn't control a lot about it. And those same patterns of behavior that got us through those times now hurt us greatly. And they work against us instead of for us. And some things in life happen to us that we didn't choose. We find ourselves in certain places and we make decisions based upon what has happened. And if we're not careful, we allow those circumstances then to control our life. Third place, your choices. Where does my defects come from? Where my problems come from? My choices. Now, you don't need to raise your hand. Anybody here in the room ever made any bad choices? Anybody that said, this is what I'm going to do, and then you regret it, and you look back on it and go, boy, I wish I wouldn't have done that. Every one of us. In reality, our biggest defect is in our choices. We are who we are because of choices that we've made. No matter how we were born, no matter what circumstances we've faced, we still have to make a choice in how we're going to live and how we're going to process life. And we've made many choices over and over again until they become a habit. We've made choices over and over until they're now a part of us and we don't even have to think about it anymore. It's just the way we are. We've made choices that we regret. We've made choices that have helped us. But basically, when we're talking about the problems and the issues of our life, the defects that we have, the problems of sin in our life, it comes from one of these three areas. It comes from this carnal nature where I have this nature in me that has a bent towards sin, that will sin. I have circumstances that I've had to deal with in the course of my life that have shaped me to some degree and caused me to be the way that I am. And then I have choices that I have to make over and over again. Day after day, you make choices. And those choices dictate how I'm going to live my life. And if I'm going to change, I have to change in this area. I have to understand what my carnal nature is. I have to change and not let it be in control. I have to change what the circumstances have dictated to me and say, I'm not going to let them do that anymore. I have to change some of the choices that I make so I can make different choices. But the problem is, it's just really, really hard, isn't it? Now, I've given you a list there in your notes of why it's so hard. Let me just go through it with you real quickly. Number one, you've had them so long. You know, I was raised this way. Or here's the great one. This is the way my family was. This is the way we are. Now, you didn't get that way overnight. You've developed patterns of behavior over years of repetition, and now you've become comfortable with it. And so I've had it a long time. I've been this way for a long time. Secondly, you identify with them. We often confuse our identity with our defects, such as, well, I'm just a workaholic. That's not a good thing, you know. Well, I'm lazy. That's not a good thing either. Well, I'm just nervous. I'm shy. I'm a worrier. And we identify with them. Well, it's just who I am. And so it gets difficult to change that, doesn't it? Or how about this one? You know, the defects have a payoff. Do you understand in your life what is rewarded gets repeated? Negative behavior? Well, I know it was wrong, but at least I got what I wanted. You know, I'm a workaholic, and look at the success I've had. Must be okay. Well, I know I got a little anger problem, and I know I get a little loud, and I know I yell at the kids and everything, but at least they do what I want them to do. And so we justify the behavior thinking that, well, it's got a payoff with it. It does what I want it to do. It gets me where I want to be, not understanding how much it's damaging you and the people around you. Why do we have a problem changing? Because Satan discourages me. There's this little voice in your head that says, you can't change. Gone too far, done too much. You can't do this. It's not going to work, you know. You try it, but it won't make any difference. You know, it's going to be really hard, so I wouldn't even bother. And no one will like you anymore if you do that. They were not going to understand what's going on in your life. And so you don't change. What happens is basically Satan creates fear so we don't try. And so he's there trying to get you not to change. We'll talk about him in the week ahead. Last one, probably the most important one, the biggest one that we do. I don't want to change. I don't see the need. Or how's this one? Well, I'm too old. Been this way too long. Why bother now? I hope you've never said that. Well, I don't want to work at it. It's just too hard. It's difficult, and you know, I want to do it, but I don't think I can. It's just too difficult for me, and besides, I'm okay the way I am. I mean, after all, if you're a Christian, you have to love me for who I am. So why should I change? After all, and I'm better than this person sitting next to me anyway. Just keep to love me. Ahead, don't look to the side. Now, I don't see the need for this. I don't want to change. I don't see where I have. I'm not hurting anybody. So we go through life dealing with this issue, that knowing that, you know what, I have to deal with sin, with defects. I can't be sinless, but I can sin less. But in order for that to happen, I got to make some changes. But these changes are hard. These changes I've had for a long time. These changes are part of my life. I'm getting what I want anyway. I'm being able to survive with it. I'm getting able to go ahead. I'll just be okay. I just want what I want. So this morning, what we're going to look at, understanding all of that, is what does it take to change? Now, I want to make sure you hear me. We are not talking about changing somebody else. All right? So there is no sitting here, boy, I hope they're hearing this. We are talking about changing ourselves. Because can we agree today that all of us have things in our life, every person in the room, self included, that we need to change? Agreed? Don't make me pull a Pastor Steve on you. Okay? We all have things. You're not perfect. In Ephesians chapter 4, verses 21 through 27, it's a great passage and a great text that deals with change in our life. We're going to work our way through it this morning. We're going to have to go pretty fast, but we're going to look at what it takes to change if you're serious about it. How do you change the things in your life that you know you need to deal with? Change the things in your life that you know God's not pleased with. Change the things in your life that you know are hurting you, not helping you. What's it take? First one, change requires a clear understanding of truth. A clear understanding of truth. Verse 21 of Ephesians 4. Since you have heard all about him and have learned the truth that is in Jesus. The truth that is in Jesus. If you want truth, there is only one place you go to find truth, and that's in Jesus Christ. Where do you find truth? You find truth in God's Word. Truth is not in your feelings. Truth is in God's Word. Look at 2 Timothy chapter 3, verse 16. All Scripture is inspired by God and is useful to teach us what is true and to make us realize what is wrong in our lives. It straightens us out and teaches us to do what is right. It is God's way of preparing us in every way, fully equipped for every good thing God wants us to do. So God's Word, God's truth, lived through Christ, tells us the truth. Now, if you're looking for truth somewhere else, you're going to get deceived. You're going to be led astray. And there's two things you have to see correctly in life. You have to see truthfully in life. One is, I have to see God right. Now, Jesus, when he was here on this earth, said, if you've seen me, you've seen the Father. If you want to know what God's like, you know what Jesus Christ is like. The way he lived, the way he acted. God is love. His ways are perfect. I have to have a great perception of God, and I know God because I read about Jesus and who he was and who he is and what he did and how he did it. So I have to see that correctly. You know, some people have a wrong view of God, don't they? They view him as harsh, as mean, as unforgiving. That's not who God is. God is love. God cares. God gives. And I have to see God right. But the other thing about truth is, I have to see myself right. Now, here's the problem. All of us are professionals at lying to ourselves. First, puts it this way. So we're lying if we say we have fellowship with God but go on living in spiritual darkness. We're not living in the truth. But if we're living in the light of God's presence just as Christ is, then we have fellowship with each other and the blood of Jesus, his Son, cleanses us from every sin. If we say we have no sin, we're only fooling ourselves and refusing to accept the truth. But if we confess our sins to him, he's faithful and just to forgive us and to cleanse us from every wrong. Now, we don't say we don't have no sin. We say it another way. Here's how we normally say it. Well, there's nothing wrong with me. I'm okay. You ever said that to somebody? You're getting quiet on me. You ever said it to yourself? What's the Bible, what we just read, say about that? If I say everything's fine and I don't have any problems, I'm lying to myself, aren't I? I'm not living the truth. Because there's no one in this room that is perfect, except for my wife. She's the only one, okay? I mean, I'm not. Nobody else is. No one in this room is perfect. And so I have to detect and disarm the lies that I'm believing. I have to stop lying to myself. Now, let me just give you some lies we tell ourselves. Well, that's really not a problem that I have. I can control it and I can stop it and start it anyway. It's really not that big of a deal. Or, I don't see anything wrong with it. I think it's perfectly okay and I don't see it as a problem. Well, it's not hurting anybody, and as long as I'm not hurting anybody else, it's my choice. Well, no one will ever know. I can do this and no one will have to find out. Well, you know, nobody understands me. You don't understand what I've been through. You don't understand how hard life's been. You don't understand what I'm dealing with. You just don't know. Well, my motives are right. I have a good heart. Well, I don't worry. I'm just concerned. I'm not gossiping. I just want you to pray. God and I are good. He knows I'm trying. You ever told yourself any of those things? Was it honest? You see, we have the amazing ability to look at ourselves and tell ourselves that it isn't true when we don't want to admit it and change. We have the amazing ability to say, well, it's just the way I am. Well, it's not hurting. Well, I'll deal with it later. Well, I've lived with it all my life. We have this amazing ability to look at ourselves and justify it and give us a pass on it because we don't want to have to deal with it. Now hear this. Behind every self-defeating act in your life, behind every problem in your life that you're struggling with is a lie you're telling yourself. You hear me? Behind every self-defeating act in your life is a lie you're telling yourself. Jeremiah 17:9 put it this way. The human heart is most deceitful and desperately wicked. Who really knows how bad it is? We have the capacity inside of us to lie to ourselves. And to stop defeating myself, I have to stop deceiving myself. I have to stop denying. I have to stop justifying. I have to stop rationalizing. I have to stop making excuses. I have to stop minimizing it. I have to stop. Now, let me ask you a question. What self-destructive behavior are you putting up with in your life? And you know you need to change it. John 8:31, here's what Jesus said. To the people who believed in him, you're truly my disciples if you keep obeying my teachings. And you will know the truth, and the truth will set you free. How do you know the truth? Obedience to God. We often quote verse 32 without 31. It really does it an injustice. Because he says, if you keep and you obey my teachings, then you're going to know the truth. And the truth will set you free. And in order to deal with the truth, I have to stop lying to myself. I have to come to that place where I am willing to have a clear understanding of what truth is, the truth of God and the truth about me. That's where change begins. I have to accept the truth. Secondly, change requires a godly conviction. A godly conviction. Verse 22, Ephesians 4. Throw off your old evil nature and your former way of life, which is rotten through and through, full of lust and deception. Now, when it comes to your carnal nature and when it calls to your life before God, how does the Bible define that? I just read it. Hint. Rotten. Rotten. your former way of life, which is rotten through and through. Every once in a while, we'll pull something out of the refrigerator that's been in there for a while. Now, I'm not like some people. I like leftovers. And leftovers to me are good as long as there's nothing growing on them. Okay? In fact, aging improves things. I have to believe that as I get older. It's a lie I'm telling myself, too. You know, and so sometimes you'll pull something out and go, ooh, this looks bad. Well, the first thing you do is open the bag or the container up and smell it, right? And if it's really bad, I go to my wife and say, smell this. Okay, I just want, sharing's everything here. And so, you know, you go to that and you do that, and you look at it, now there's stuff growing on it, and you got, now it's rotten all the way through. You can't scrape off the top. I know, I've done that, I'm sorry. But, you know, it's rotten through and through. There is nothing good about it. And that's what Ephesians here says, your former way of life, your old nature, is just rotten through and through, full of lust and, what's the word? Deception. Who's the deceiving? Us. We don't tell ourselves the truth. We're deceived. So what has to happen here is I have to be convinced, I have to be convicted that this is the truth and I need to deal with this. I need to take responsibility for it and I have to throw it off. I'm the one responsible to deal with this. I know it's hurting me. And just as importantly, maybe more importantly, I know this isn't pleasing God. And so I want to deal with this. There needs to be a conviction that this is something that is not helping me honor God. Ephesians 2:12. Dearest friends, you were always so careful to follow my instructions when I was with you. And now that I'm away, you must be even more careful to put into action God's saving work in your lives, obeying God with deep reverence and fear, for God is working in you, giving you desire to obey Him and the power to do what pleases Him. So God is working in you. God's giving you the power. God says, I am alive in you through my Spirit. I want to help you. I want to deal with this. I want you to deal with this. But please understand something. You are not waiting on God to change you. See, here's what we want to do. Okay, God, I know this issue in my life is hurting me, and I know I've had it for a long time, and I know it's not right. So, God, would you just please take it away? Now, if you listen real closely, you might hear God tell you this. That's your job, not mine. If you take responsibility and begin making the change, God will give you the power to do what pleases Him. But you have to throw it off. You have to take responsibility. I have to work with God in order for that to happen. I want Him just to remove it. I want it to be gone. I don't want to deal with it anymore. And yet it hangs around. My responsibility. No, I'm not going to give in to that. No, I'm not going to talk like that. No, I'm not going to go there. No, I'm not going to have this attitude. No, that's not the right way. I'm going to change this. And as I do that, God will help me know the truth of what I need to do. And God will give me the power to do it. Now, he says one of the reasons we do it is because of deep reverence and fear for God. Oh, Pastor, I don't think you should be afraid of God. Well, if that's what you think, then you don't understand God and you don't know the truth about Him. Because God is a great God. But out of reverence and fear, I want to make changes in my life to please Him. And so if I'm going to change, I have to admit with God, God, you're right. This is wrong in my life and this is hurting me. All right? God, I want to know the truth. You've revealed it to me. God, I recognize, yes, what you're saying about me and what's being said, what I recognize, it is true. And God, I agree with you that this is wrong and I need to deal with it. Third step, change requires changing my thoughts and attitudes. Changing my thoughts and attitudes. Verse 23, Ephesians 4, instead, There must be a spiritual renewal of your thoughts and attitudes. You have to change how you think. You're probably getting tired of hearing this. For some, we've been dealing with it on Wednesday nights in our Bible study, going through the book of Romans. But here it is in Romans chapter 12, verse 2. Don't copy the behavior and customs of this world, but let God transform you into a new person by changing the way you think. How does God transform you into a new person? By you changing how you think. Then you'll know what God wants you to do, and you will know how good and pleasing and perfect His will really is. Well, I know, Pastor, I have this idea, and I just think about it like this. And because I think about it like that, you have certain actions, right? Nothing changes in your life until you change how you think about it. As long as you think that, well, it's okay, well, it's not that bad, well, it's okay, well, I'm just this way, well, I really have a reason to feel like this, well, I think I'm right, well, I believe this, then you're never going to change. You and I need to think, what is the Holy Spirit telling us and what does the Bible have to say? I need to change how I think. I'm thinking this way. It's hurting me. It's wrong. I need to think as God is leading me and in another way. Because nothing changes until you change how you think about something. And notice, thoughts and attitudes. Now again, don't raise your hand. And you can't raise your hand for anybody else, even if I'd let you. Does anybody in here need a little attitude check? Romans 15:5. May God, who gives this patience and encouragement, help you live in complete harmony with each other, each with the attitude of Christ Jesus towards the other. We are to have the attitude of Christ. So if I'm going to change, I have to be willing to deal with the truth of what's going on. I have to admit with God that this is hurting me, not pleasing Him, and I'm convicted by it, and I want to deal with it. And now, God, would you help me think differently about it according to how you look at it and according to what I need to do so that I can make the changes that need to be made. I was holding on to this thought. I need to let go of this thought. I've never thought like that, but I need to think like this. I need to look at it differently. I need to see it through your side. I need to have the attitude that you have in this. I need to be willing to do this and honest to do this. Now, here's the other thing you have to understand. You can't do this on your own. That's where the next point, change requires cooperation with the Holy Spirit. Cooperation with the Holy Spirit. Verse 24 of Ephesians 4. You must display a new nature. Notice the word must. Because you are a new person. That's keeping with Scripture, right? When you accept Christ, the Bible tells us we're a brand new person, right? The old is gone, the new has come. Created in God's likeness, righteous, holy, and true. So you and I have to come to realize how desperately we need help. And I recognize it's there. I'm willing to admit that I need to deal with it. I'm willing to understand that it's hurting me. I need to think differently about it according to what God says about it. And I need to take His help because you can't do it on your own. That's exactly why the Holy Spirit is here. John 14:16. I will ask the Father. He will give you another counselor who will never leave you. He is the Holy Spirit who leads into all, what's the word? Truth. The world at large cannot receive Him because it isn't looking for Him and doesn't recognize Him. It doesn't want to, but you do because He lives with you now and later will be in you. John 16:13. When the Spirit of truth comes, He will guide you into all truth. He will not be presenting His own ideas. He will be telling you what He has heard. He will tell you about the future. He will bring me glory by revealing to you whatever He receives from me. Now here's what we understand. Willpower will not change you. Lasting change doesn't happen because you're disciplined and you can just do it. Lasting change happens when you and I allow the Holy Spirit to be our partner and we cooperate together to bring about the changes He leads us and guides us into and deals with us about and then promises the help and support that we need. And Holy Spirit power is the only power that can bring about effective and lasting change in your life. You know, you start something, you do something, oh good, I've got this habit out of my life. I've dealt with it, I've done it, I've worked on it, and now it's over with. And 2 months later, it's back again, isn't it? Why? Because you tried to do it on your own. Well, I've tried and tried, Pastor, to change this. Well, okay, that's good, but have you had a partner when you've tried to change it? See, we in the world, they understand this. They say you need to be accountable. And accountability is a great thing. We'll talk about that in a moment. But the most thing person I need to be accountable to is the Holy Spirit and to God. And if I will, He can help me change. Now, that change won't happen overnight. You didn't get your defects overnight. You won't change them that long. It will take some time. And God doesn't want you to do this alone, so the Holy Spirit is present to work with you in a great partnership. Next, change requires healthy community. Healthy community. Verse 25, Ephesians 4. Put away all falsehood. Tell your neighbor the truth, because we belong to each other. Now hear me. There are some changes that you need to make in your life that you will never be able to make them alone. God wants to bring people into your life to help you change. He works through people, doesn't He? Now, just let me give you a heads up. You will probably not like these people at first. All right? Galatians 6:2. Share each other's troubles and problems, and in this way obey the law of Christ. If you think you're too important to help someone in need, you're only fooling yourself. You're really a nobody. So what happens? We got some problems in our life. What do we try to do with them? We try to cover them up, don't we? We don't want anybody to know, so we try to keep it to ourselves. I'll work on it on my own, just me and God. We'll take care of this, and we'll deal with this. And it never works like it should. Because God says, look, I'm going to use people. Let's put it this way. Let's say you have a problem with anger. And you're saying, God, you know what? I get angry way too easy, way too often. I want you to help me deal with this. I'm going to start dealing with it. And so, God, together, can we work on this? And God goes, great, let's do that. I think you need to deal with your anger too. And so what does God do? He puts you around people who make you angry. Right? God, why are these people in my life? They're messing up the whole thing. No, they're there to help you change. I don't like this. I don't want them there. I don't want them around. And so when that happens, what do? We quit, don't we? God, just you and me, we'll deal with this. And God puts people in your life. You know, well, I got problems telling the truth. So God brings someone along beside you and you tell a lie and they look you in the face and say, you know, I thought you were going to deal with this. You know, that's not honest. Well, what do you know? You're not so good yourself. And immediately when somebody says that, we point out their faults then, don't we? Come on. And you see, God uses people to help us make the changes that need to be made. What does the enemy do? He isolates us. He puts us off by ourselves. Well, I can do this on my own. I can do this by myself. Folks, when you start doing that, here, understand, you're lying to yourself. You're lying. You can't. And God says, I want to help you. And you and I need to stop avoiding and covering up and being too busy to allow others to help us make the change. Because in all reality, there's probably somebody close by you who is able to help you make the changes you need to make. But the problem is you're going to have to swallow your pride. You're going to have to be willing to let somebody else in. You're going to have to be willing to be really truthful and honest about this. And many times we struggle in this area, don't we? The world understands it. What do? You go to some place let's say, to lose weight, Weight Watchers. And I don't know because, as you can see, I've never been. Okay? But let's say you go there. They're going to give you an accountability partner, aren't they? Somebody, what'd you eat today? How'd you do it? They understand that, don't they? Why do we in the church think God doesn't still work that way? God says, I want to bring some people into your life who are going to help you. The Holy Spirit's there to help you. He'll lead you into the truth. He'll lead you to the right people. He'll lead you to that place. But now I want you to allow other people. Time's running away from me. It's the last point. Change requires conquering temptation. Conquering temptation. Verses 26, 27, Ephesians 4. Don't sin by letting anger gain control over you. Don't let the sun go down while you're still angry. For anger gives a mighty foothold to the devil. In other words, when you're tempted, don't. Well, I just feel like, don't. Well, I just think, don't. Well, I don't think it's going to hurt, don't. Well, just one more, don't. Well, I've tried, it's just too hard, I think I'm going to quit, don't. Well, you just don't understand, don't. Well, but it's just, God doesn't, don't. Here's what God promises to you and I. 1 Corinthians 10:13. Remember, the temptations that come into your life are no different from what others experience. And God's faithful. He will help keep the temptation from becoming so strong that you can't stand up against it. And when you're tempted, He will show you a way out so that you will not give in to it. God always, now hear me, hear this. God always has a way for you to win the battle. You hear me? We're in a good fight, aren't we? God always has a way for you to win. We are more than conquerors. And when we fight this good fight internally with that battleground that is there, demands that my battle begins with me on the inside, and I have to change some things that have been there a long time, and I have to change some things that are working against me. And God says, you know what? I've got a way for you to win. But you got to follow God's ways and not yours, correct? So today, how are you doing? What is it you've been putting up with? What is it you've been making excuses for? What is it God's been dealing with you about changing in your life? He wants to help you, you know. He's provided a way for you to have victory in it. You get that right? Okay, let's just start again. Go back. Okay. God says, look, I know there's a battle going on. I'm going to partner with you, and I'll help you. And together, you'll win. You'll win. Let's pray.
Thank you for joining us for today's service. If you would like to talk with someone about what you've heard, please visit our website at faith.ag or call us at 239-543-2700. If you're in the Fort Myers area and don't already have a church home, you're invited to join us for Sunday morning at 8:15 and 10:45 a.m. Faith Assembly is located at 7101 Bayshore Road. Join us again next week for Sunday Morning. Faith Assembly Sunday Morning is a production of Faith Assembly Media Tech, North Fort Myers, Florida.